Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Appreciate everybody calling in. 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. To be part of the conversation, just hit 1. Check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody checking that out. And go subscribe to our YouTube channel, man. That is, we are doing great on that. I appreciate everybody doing that. Don't forget to go check out our sponsors. You can find links to those sponsors on our website, too, redneckandeyes.com. That's our website. It is a great place to check out things where we got our videos on YouTube, you know, scheduled events if we got a thing going on there, or if you got, like you said, you want to check out our sponsors, we got links to that over there. One of the sponsors I like to think is Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. And you can check them out. That's a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They're drop dead busy over there. And they got the freight. So if you're trying to stay busy, and, you know, they run 48 states, so go check them out. You can give them a call at 720-277-0030. Again, that's 720-277-0030. That's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. So, actually, I've been going, listening to some podcasts and stuff like that, and you know what got me fired up is all this war in Ukraine crap, and they're just pussyfooting around, man. They won't send them the F-16s. They say they got to train them on them and all that crap. You know, this is just crap, okay? If you want Ukraine to join NATO, okay, boom, they're a member of NATO, bam. You just fly NATO forces in there and say, now what, bitch? You know what I'm saying? So, and you know for a fact they'll get out. You know, and everybody's like, well, maybe they'll, you know, use nukes or whatever. Okay, Putin might be crazy, but I know that he ain't dumb, and what he wants is the land. That's what he wants. He wants the farmland. He wants the resources. That's what he wants. That's how you sustain a country. You know, really, one guy said that the reason why the Russian economy, because of sanctions and all that, they're not really, you know, losing that much is because the Biden administration has put so much restrictions on the oil that the price of oil gone up. And that's what's emboldened Putin is that's all he's got is oil. And when the price of oil is high, well, then guess what? It goes up. And he's got, hey, I'm making money, you know? So that kind of thing is something to think about, you know, when you're looking at stuff like that. So yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. And I just thought that got me fired up. And, I mean, we can talk more about that or, you know, what's going on in the trucking industry is that the economy is kind of slowing down, but, you know, the trucking industry is still humping and grinding, and freight rates are down a little bit. But, you know, it's got to correct itself. We had a lot of freight rates go up because of the supply chain issues, and now everything's trying to catch back up, and there's too many trucking companies in the mix. So, you know, that's the way it works on that. So, yeah, check them out, and just be careful, you know, dealing with them damn brokers again. But anyway, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some, and we're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Again, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. And we're here for the next hour, so give us a call, and let's talk about trucking. We'll see you in a second.
A valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock ticks life away. It's so unreal. You didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on. You didn't even know. I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard and got so far. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried. So hard. You fight it away, you were mocking me. Acting like I was part of your property. Remembering all the times you fought with me. I'm surprised it got so big. You aren't the way they were before. You wouldn't even recognize me anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but it all comes back to me in the end. You kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried so hard and got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had to
trust in you, as far as I can go. For all this, there's only one thing you should know. I've put my trust in you.
Every step that I take is another mistake to you. We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Renekanize Radio. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody following our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel. Man, we are kicking ass on that. I appreciate everybody doing that for us. watching those videos. I'm trying to get back more doing that, and we appreciate everybody doing that. I was trying to get to an article on here. It says immigrants are filling the trucking labor gap in Houston and the U.S., and it's a Houston Chronicle article that got posted yesterday, and you got to subscribe to get to it. But I was just going to ask a question that maybe I don't know if the reporter asked or not. What about the language barrier? That's what we're seeing, you know, across the trucking industry. We all know that. And I've even known several drivers that came from, you know, the Sudan and Nigeria that they're ticked off at people from their own country. You know, hey, man, learn English. Get with the program. But people just don't seem to care. And, of course, in Houston and South Texas, we bring in a lot of Mexican truckers that cross the border. The other night, actually, I was passed on the big road out there on 35. There's just a bunch of Mexican trucks with more Mexican trailers, at least. The trailers had Mexican plates when they passed me. So that's what I noticed on there. And, you know, hey, more power to you is just like you said, you know, when you get to an area and they don't understand the language. So I'm at a truck stop and I'm paying for my stuff and all that. And the guy walks in, he wants some fuel. And come to find out it was, you know, they didn't have the right card or the card wasn't working or something like that. And the lady couldn't explain it to him. He didn't understand what she was saying. His card's good. Good card. Good card. Kept saying. She's like, no, it ain't a good card. Card's not working. You need a different card. I don't take that card or something like that. And he's like, no. Here, you know, he kept trying to give her the same card back. And she's like, no, you need to call your company and check things out. And he's like, no. You know, so we do have a language issue. That's the big thing. Okay. And there's a reason why American truckers don't go into Mexico and Canada. Okay. We know if we don't understand the language, if they don't understand us, why are we going to go? It's kind of like the whole thing with respect to everybody. It's like, hey, you know, you're not going to understand me and I don't understand you. So best let's just draw the line. You know what I mean? But, the governments and the companies, because they're so hurting for drivers to work for low wages, that they'll do whatever they can. And that's the thing, you know. Let's see. We had a deal going on the other day with certain deals going on with some accidents over here in the Corpus Christi area. And I thought it was odd that they just didn't release anybody's names or anything like that. So I'm still waiting to hear from some of that stuff before I talk about it or anything. I don't know. It just seems like there's this was the funny one here. It was a cyclist involved in pickup truck crash for the first time. Two cyclists were killed in a crash. Looks like the guy might have a video on it or whatever. It goes, a West Valley cycling community is mourning the loss of two of their own as many recover from being hit by a pickup. Oh, Jesus Christ. See, this is the problem right here. Yep. Quit calling a pickup truck a truck. It's a pickup. Just pay pickup. Don't say truck. You don't even have to say truck. Just cut the word truck out of it. And that way it doesn't have to worry. It's a pickup. That's what it's called. Okay? You know, I think anything, even a dually, people call it a dually pickup. So, you know, just don't worry about that stuff. It says, what it is that there's a big, I guess, a big search going on. So it pops up like there's multiple articles about this cyclist. It says cyclist truck crash. Truck crashes into group of Arizona cyclists, bicyclists. Cyclists involved in truck crash. There's only one that says pickup truck. All the others just say truck. Just say truck, you know. And click on this one here. I bet you they say, what about the driver of the pickup? What do they call it? What do they call a driver of the pickup? Da 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 da. And it doesn't have anything. A lot of times if you read it into it, you read it a little bit. Of course, it's Pedro, 26, of Phoenix, is being held on bond for $250,000 for being booked into Maricopa County Jail on two counts of manslaughter, three counts of aggravated assault, 18 counts of endangerment, and two counts of causing serious death by moving violation. It's a Ford F-250. So he was allegedly driving the Ford F-250 southbound on the Cotton Lane Bridge over the Gila River bed around 8 a.m. when he veered into the riders who were in the bike lane. And he said he indicated that he was coming from picking up a workload going on to a work site. Goodyear Public Information Officer Lisa Berry told reporters, so we believe that he was a work-related travel for him in his personal vehicle. And, yeah, they don't say that he was – a lot of times they'll put it on there, you know, the truck driver. And I was like, what? But they didn't put that part. So make sure, yep. But, yeah, I tell you what, man, that kind of stuff irritates me when I see it on there because it flashes across Facebook, and then automatically people start, yeah, see, big truck, you know, and it's like, hey, man, read into it. It's a pickup truck. Pickup. That's what it is. It's not a pickup truck. We need to stop playing sand truck. You know, everybody out there, they don't even call big trucks. They, you know, normal people, not in the trucking industry, well, they don't call, you know, big trucks. They don't call them trucks. They call them, you know, 18-wheelers, semis, that kind of thing. So what are you going to do? Just the world we live in, I guess. Let's see. And there's a Massachusetts teen killed by a dump truck. And I was trying to see. There's a couple of pictures. Looks like a local dump truck. Oh, he was in a moped. Collided with the dump truck. Yep. So, yeah, man, oh, man. Of course, it's wet and rainy conditions and everything up there. And this is local. It's like even the dump truck kind of looks like it's kind of decorated something different. So, yeah. Oh, man, I'm trying to refresh this stuff here and see what we got else going on. I tell you what. So I was driving the other night, and what I just – can't, over and over again, I'm just going to keep saying it, get out of the middle lane. I mean, trucks are actually intentionally getting into the middle lane, and they're going slow. I'm ended up passing them. I'm in a truck that's governed at 65, and I'm passing people on the right because they're in the middle lane, and I'm in the right lane because I'm staying out of everybody's way. So it ticks me off. All right, we'll go to the phone here. Looks like who you got calling in?
How you doing, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Douglas, hey, did you have to pull the article up or see the article I seen on Facebook today where that Robbie wannabe or whatever he was down there in Ringo, Georgia, was crossing the railroad tracks with that RTN, and he got high-centered on the railroad tracks and had a big excavator on, and he jumped out of the truck and was trying to get his pin pulled so he'd get the tractor out of there or something, and decided he couldn't do it, so he took off running, and CCX cleaned his clock, man. He hit him, and he just never jumped the track, but that train just, I mean, he just cleared the track, shoved that excavator, the trailer, everything, just destroyed everything, and he got stopped probably about, I don't know, four or five car lengths, you know, train lengths, car lengths, down the track after he hit him. If that, I mean, he had it locked down before he got to the crossing because he seen what was across the crossing. So kudos to the train, but he couldn't get slowed down enough and hit that driver. Now, again, that goes back to knowing your equipment, knowing your job, permit routes, whatever. That guy should have paid more attention to know that that was an above-grade crossing, to know that he had a good chance of getting high-centered on them tracks before he crossed.
Yes.
I don't know if you can pull it up or not. It was probably, you know, train collides with truck in Ringo, Georgia. It has happened, I guess, today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday or maybe early today. I don't know what time, when it was. It was recently.
Okay, we yeah, okay.
But it was,
yeah, you put, no, go ahead.
Yeah, it was ugly. But the middle lane, I mean, they're not going to stay out of that middle lane. These guys, they leave a lot to be desired out here. Honest to God, I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on out here.
Yep, then that other article I couldn't access said they're relying on immigrants to cover all the jobs. That's
yeah,
probably
how
a good
is
answer.
That? They haven't been properly vetted. They haven't been properly trained. Like
yep.
You said, there's a language barrier there. I mean, come on, man.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and
just
they wonder
like
why
saying,
the trucking industry is unsafe.
Or even the railroad industry, like all the hazardous material. The hazardous material, are they getting certified to do that stuff too? Because you got to do a background check to do all that. Doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah. Yep, that's an ad. But yeah, it's I pulled it up here, Local 3 News, Ringgold. I was saying, I thought you said Ringo, like Ringo Starr, but it's Ringgold.
No, Ringgold. Ringgold, yeah. Georgia.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the guy doing the video, he's like, holy crap, he got the hell out of there, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, that was ugly, man. That was a bad crash. I sat there and watched that today, and I thought, seriously? I mean, you got to be a real dumbass to get hung up on tracks like that. I mean, you didn't do your – you need to check that permit. The permits, they're there for a reason. Now, maybe they permitted him down that route, and they sometimes do some stupid things with them. The state will permit you down a route, but they permit you, but it's still – it's your responsibility to make sure that permit is right, that permit route is right, that you can travel down that road.
Yeah.
Just because they put it on there doesn't mean that you have got the right clearance for it.
I mean, you know, that's the government for you. They're going to, like you're saying, they don't really look at that stuff. They rely on some kind of engineer or spotter or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
all I'm saying is
the state issue their permits. And what
and they
people
got it
fail to realize, whether it's an overweight, overlength, overheight, oversized, whatever permit it is, it doesn't matter. All that permit does is permit the company, you and the company or your company, whatever, it permits you to pull that load, to haul that load down their state highways and on federal highways. That's all it does in their state. State permit, that's all it does is permit you to travel on their roads with that heavy load, wide, long, tall, whatever it is. All right, that permit does not relieve you from any responsibility if there's any property damage, injuries, fatalities, whatever it may be, if you're involved in an accident. And that's what people think, well, I got a permit. That permit is only permit you to travel on that road, that highway. If anything happens, your insurance, you're still liable for anything that happens. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They don't take that into consideration. You get caught without that permit, you get a fine. But if you get that permit and something happens, you still get a fine. Because they said, well, you didn't follow the proper, you know, the proper routes and the proper instructions on the permit.
Yeah. Well,
you got to read the permits, too.
So check this out. So this here, the other news channel, I guess locally around there, whatever, the crash between plane and tractor trailer raises questions about the Catoosa County rail crossing. It says a train crashed in Ringgold, sent one person to the hospital and created a mess to clean up. About 2 months ago, another train crashed in Collegedale, sent two people to the hospital, and created an even bigger cleanup project, I guess in the same county. That crash happened when a truck carrying a concrete barrier got stuck on the tracks, causing the train to hit it. And
right.
I thought maybe it would have been the same deal, the same.
Right. I mean, the RGNs, like Robbie's got and everything, there ain't much ground clearance. You only got like four inches top, maybe five if you're lucky, of clearance underneath the bottom of that trailer, between the trailer and the road. Now, you know, what goes up got to come down. So when that truck goes over and you got a hump right there on them railroad tracks, a rise in them tracks, and they're not level across there, that truck goes up and over, that trailer's the next thing to catch, and it drops 4 inches, you're stuck. Now you're high-centered. And you're not going to get off of it. I mean, had he had enough time and knowledge, a lot of them, the one I pulled for quite a few years, one I had, it had air valves in the back. You could air the valves up all the way in the back, and you could air the bags all the way up on the back of the trailer and air it all the way up. And I've crawled underneath and unhooked my leveling valve on the truck and aired it all the way up to get just enough clearance to get unstuck. I never got stuck on a railroad track, but I did get stuck, you know, trying to get into the customer because of the way their drive was, you know, their parking lot and their driveway was made. And he said, oh, yeah, they do that all the time. I said, well, you know, you need to do something because you're going to continue to have this problem. But a lot of guys don't know where they're not, again, not properly trained. But you're supposed to read them permits and understand that route, go over it with a map, check your map, check your routing, and make sure that, you know, when he comes to that crossing and he looked at that, you could tell that road went up, that road went up over top of them railroad tracks and dropped down on the other side. He knew that was an above-grade crossing. Now, any knowledge, common sense, and proper training should have told him that was going to happen. You can't clear that. That trailer sits too low to go over that. He would have been lucky. He could have probably made it over there empty because he could have drug the trailer, hit it hard enough. He could have drug the trailer on over, you know, like a sled. But with that excavator on there, it was too much weight. That excavator just took the arch out of that trailer and made it lower yet. So I blame that on the driver, not on the train, not on the city, not on the state. Well, the state some, yeah, because they permitted the route. But it was his responsibility to check his permitted route, make sure he could travel that route safely without any obstructions, above or below his load. Now, Robbie's on here listening. So he can verify what I just said is true. If he don't, now he needs to go back to Swift training. Travis.
He's back on here now. Robbie, can you verify your whereabouts today?
My whereabouts is nowhere near Georgia. Nowhere near Georgia. I'm actually up in Oklahoma City sitting at a customer to unload in the morning. I got out when Greg was saying, you know, on how much ground clearance we have on these low boys. Mine's claimed as 18 inches loaded ride height, and that's pretty much at a 30,000 pound load. I've gotten mine down to 17 on a load, but I can regulate the ride height in the back on my trailer. Not all trailers are like this, but majority of them are.
But
you can raise and lower the ass into your trailer. Now,
right.
I have a hydraulic neck. I have five
right.
different positions. I can crank the I can raise the living daylights out of the front of the trailer. Now, some of the guys that have that's what they call
mechanical,
they
right.
have two ride heights. Dogs that they have to adjust to, and that is it. So if he had, I was going to try to look for the article on, I guess he had an excavator and a railroad track. Railroad tracks
yep.
and RGNs do not mix.
Nope. Now, you talk
because,
about 18 inches of ground clearance, or 18
inches to the top of my deck.
Right.
And I just,
underneath ground clearance, you've only got what, 4 or 5 inches?
Seven.
Loaded.
I have 7 inches right now. I didn't look at what the
seven.
Top measurement was, but in the front nose of my trailer, I'm at 7 inches ground clearance. At the back, I can't measure the center because I can't get to it. I'd be crawling on the ground, and I don't feel like crawling on the ground right now. And the back is 8 inches. So there's an inch difference between the two. But my tires are like a drive-in run around with your tandems all the way back all the time. Don't even slide them forward. All the way in the back. That's how I maneuver around, is my tandems are all the way at the back. And that center point, I've felt it. I've scraped ground, and it sucks.
Yep.
It feels like someone's putting on the brakes, and you're not putting on the brakes. My foot's hammered down.
And when you hit something like that at night, if it's after dark and you got a legal load where you can run, and it bounces and hits the ground like that, if you have look in that mirror, you'll see sparks of fire fly out under that trailer where it's grinding on the road when it hits.
I would say 95% of your RGN work is run during the day because of permits.
Yep.
Arkansas is good for it. Arkansas, I'm on an oversized load. I'm 12 foot wide. I had to be stopped before that sun went down. There is no grace period. Like Oklahoma is, I can leave a half hour before sunrise and a half hour after sunset. I have that little bit of grace period. Now, Arkansas, you can't do that. Alabama, you can't run on Sunday. Louisiana's 55. Ohio's 55. Arizona's 55. Of course, California's 55. But there's so many different variables, you know, pulling an RGN around. It's
right.
Yep.
Same way. I've seen guys get hung up with step decks. I've seen guys high center step decks. I mean, they got more ground clearance under the frame than what an RGN does. But I have seen guys with step decks get hung up coming into parking lots into truck stops because of the way the truck stops are made. Now, I'm telling you, man, it's a bad deal. You got to be on top of your game.
I've even scraped getting in and out of a fuel island, let alone getting in a parking lot.
Have you guys looked up at the sky lately? Did you see Venus, Jupiter, or Saturn, or what, setting up there in line with each other?
No.
No?
Two bright lights up there. They look like they're about to...
Apparently, I know where you're sitting. You're sitting on that patio on that bench.
Well, see, apparently you're wrong again.
Your truck.
Yes, I am. I'm driving west out here on Interstate. There on Route 30 out here by Beaver Dam, Ohio. Lima. Sky nice and clear, and I'm sitting there looking at them two planets. I'm thinking they're not planets. I'm thinking they're Chinese weather balloons.
They're coming out to get you.
Yep. And they're watching you, man.
Yeah, I'm working.
Yeah, they're watching you.
I'm doing one of them outlaw loads tonight. That's why I'm out here in the dark.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to steal our DNA and they're trying to clone us.
Yeah,
they don't want clone. The world ain't ready for two of me. I'm telling you that now.
Yep. Yeah, it's I opened the show kind of talking about Ukraine and all that stuff and China getting involved and everything like that. I mean, man, we're pussyfooting around over there, man. All you got to do is say, okay, if you want to be part of NATO, you're part of NATO now. You drop in NATO forces in there and say, attack us now, bitch. You know, I mean.
That's what I'm saying. Send our planes over there, hit Putin, blow the shit out of his ass, send him back across the border, and he won't come back there trying no more shit. Tell China,
the
you want to come over here, I'll give you some, too.
So I was listening to some of the Sunday shows, and there's this representative or Republican military guy, you know, and he's like, we need to send them them F-16s now. And he's like, you know, and all that, and they can fly over there. And the lady's like, the news lady, the interview, you know, she's like, well, they can get shot down, too, you know. And he was like, well, that's true. And I was like, no, it ain't. I said, they're using 82 technology. They're...
Right.
Our F-16s can outrun those missiles or evade them because they don't. They're not Stinger missiles. They're not badass missiles like what we got. The stuff they got you know, they're lucky if they can hit anything. So, you know, I mean, we can knock out their all of their missiles and little turrets and all that. I mean, come on. You know, just come on. Just quit.
You wouldn't even have to do it. All
yeah.
they'd have to do is catch wind that we was on our way over there with them planes. Putin, I really think Putin haul ass.
Yeah. And,
because
and you know
he
what
knows
proves
that they can't win.
Well, you know what proves that point. I mean, just send in American troops and tell them if you attack us, then we're coming at you. And he would not do that.
All right.
I mean, because what happened was we found out, and you know the media, the regular media people, you know the local news and the national like ABC News and all that. What they don't say is what a lot of these political commentators they kind of, you know, it's kind of like, well, I can't verify, but let me just tell you my experience. Okay, they notified Russia. And a couple of them said, we called Russia to let them know that Biden was going to be in Ukraine to say, hey, don't bomb the city, because if you do, you're bombing the president, and that's not good. And they said, yes,
that's
we won't
right.
do that. So they didn't. They stood down because they said, you know what, don't attack because the president's there. I mean, come on now. If they really wanted
but
to
then
set,
they,
right, go ahead.
But then they go and set the sirens off. The air raid sirens off, so it made everybody think that Biden was in some kind of danger,
yeah.
so it made it feel
yeah.
important over there.
The guy,
bullshit.
You know, so funny, so Ben Shapiro, he does a lot of that stuff where he'll play those videos, and what he'll say is like, well, then they did that, and everybody was like, ooh, you know, like that. He goes, but then when the reporter talked, the reporter said the quiet part out loud, and he's like, yeah, the president was here today, and it was very, very humble and very nice and, you know, power-driven and all that. And he goes, and the sirens went off, and I have to tell you that it's been almost 3 weeks since I've heard a siren, and we heard one today.
Right.
And it's like, come on.
Right.
No, come on.
Yep. Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, they know. They wouldn't do that. I mean, if Putin really wanted to win something and really go to war, which he doesn't want to, you know, he knows that they're not
no.
going to do that. If it really wants to, all he had to do is bomb that train. If Biden took the train in, took the train out, all he had to do is bomb the train. But he didn't
right.
do that because he knows that's not good. That he knew that if he did that, he would glow in the dark. You know, and that's what he doesn't want to do.
Oh yeah, you ain't no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and so to me, it's just so silly. You know, actually, you know what? I'll take it back. He could have probably killed Biden and made Kamala made her president.
Yeah.
And she probably wouldn't do a damn thing. She'd send him roses. Thanks for helping me out.
Yeah, more than likely.
You know.
And the rest of them would probably do it too.
Yeah, you know, so come on, you know. But
they don't
yeah.
want him in there. None of them want him in there, but that's the lesser of the evils.
And you know, the funny thing, dude, it irritates the hell out of me because all of these – so whenever you watch these shows and they're supposed to be a Republican and Democrat on, like, ABC, you know, they're talking about politics. And the funny thing is that the Democrat is just going off the handle, doing all their woke crap and all their talking and jibber-jabber.
Yep.
And then the Republican, they have to be nice. So they're like – I'm like, well, you know, he's got to do all this and all that and everything. And they're like, well, yeah, we're happy to have Biden running. We're excited for him to run, and he's running, and he's doing a great job and all that. And the Republican, all the Republican has to say is yes, Biden has to run.
Yep.
Because no, they have
yep.
nobody. They're nobody else. All he has to do is say that. All
right.
he has to do is say, you have nobody
yep.
else. And that pisses them off. It gets them. That's why they don't say it, because that pisses them off. They say, well, what do you mean about Kamala? Kamala can be president. And he's like, no, terribly unpopular. Nobody likes her, you know. And then of course Pete Buttigieg, he's screwed the pooch. He's an idiot. I mean, you know, you don't go to a train wreck and sit there and talk, and then you stop talking. And go, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh, I tell you what, the people up there, these Palestinians.
I was just watching that video. Ed shared it on the Redneckinized page there. About that guy getting in that train wreck. Excavator never came off the lower deck. It separated where it attaches it.
Yeah, the neck
separated,
neck
but
yeah.
it stayed on the trailer. He had it cured properly.
So the next question is, where did he get them chains at?
I don't know. They're fucking Super He-Man chains, I guess.
That's what you got to comment on there.
That's what I said. Him and Robbie got to be related.
Yeah.
What, the Super chains?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
Robbie's got one of them chains that Robbie's got on there. One of them chains weighs as much as Robbie.
Hey.
One inch chain.
No, I don't have one on here. I have half inch is my big chain. I got half inch 3/8.
You need to go get 1 inch now since you've seen that video.
Oh,
bigger's better.
That. No. No, but not bigger's better. I got to make money first before I buy that. This year has not been going good.
Shit, tell me about it.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm doing that thing. We're working on it now. We're in the process of working, getting my own authority. So I've had pretty brokers piss on it. If they're going to rob everybody, then we are too. I'm going to get my piece of the pie. We're getting our own authority and just going getting their broker's license. Screw it. I'm tired of giving these companies 25% to go out and broker loads for me.
That's what it is.
Hell with it.
You know, and they take, the funny thing is that you can make a pretty good, you can make a good living as a broker.
True. That's why everybody's doing it.
No, what I'm saying is,
you
could be a good broker and only take like 10% and make damn good money, you know?
Well, that's my plan.
So many new brokers that just in the last, I've noticed it a lot in the last year, is all the new brokers that are coming up. And granted, the company I'm leased to, you got to have credit with them, but there's a bunch of new brokers. I saw three loads coming out of the same place. It changed. I can't remember where it was picking up, where it was going, but I just remember the rate on it. One broker had it for $4,500. Another broker had it for $3,200, and another one had it for $3,800. Tell me that nobody's robbing what?
Exactly.
Pick up location was the same and the delivery location was the same. But they didn't have no information. Any three of them didn't have no information on what it was, but it was all new MC numbers. And their MC numbers are in the millions right now.
I told her, I said, she gets her brokerage license and starts brokering, gets her
on the
brokerage. Go ahead.
What?
But on the truck side, you're up to 3 million that I've seen anyways.
Well,
3 million
what I was
whatever
doing.
For like DOT numbers and whatnot.
Or your 7 digits, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. We're getting our authority, and I'm going to run our own authority. She's got her brokerage license, and once she does that, I said, I'm going to run the truck for a while. She get her brokerage license. We're going to get some accounts established, which I got my fingers on about 5 or 6 accounts right now that I could probably get. Once we get that done, I get started. I told her, I said, give you trucks on her, whatever, to piss on it. I'm going to park my truck. I said, set another desk up down there in the office. I'm going to sit there. I'm gonna sit there and help
that's
her broker. I ain't
right
driving.
And are you hearing this? Am I hearing this right? That Greg's gonna sit at a desk?
No. I've seen that office down there. I've seen the office part right there. And I thought that maybe Tiff would set him up in his own office in that back room, back in the
garage.
No, I'm talking about...
He might be in the garage or in that other shed.
No, I'm talking about
the
other door. Yeah, the bathroom. The bathroom.
Yeah.
The bathroom.
I'll give a damn. Put me a laptop in there and...
You do not get a phone. You have to send all your information by email. That way it's tracked. That way you don't Oh, man, that phone would be slamming down in about every hour.
Oh.
See, the biggest problem that I think with brokers is that the history of the broker, if you go back to how the broker originated, the broker didn't talk to the trucking companies and like they do. You know, now it's
talk
like
to the drivers.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like they would deal back in the day, they would deal with the customers. So like they had somebody that looking, if somebody was looking for lumber and they say, hey, I'm looking for some lumber, and I'll pay up to a certain point, or, you know, I just need some lumber. Find me some lumber. And the broker would be going out and finding lumber. And then what they would do is they would actually call the guy selling the lumber and say, hey, I'll buy it for this amount, and then sell it back to the other guy for you know, to make his money. And then whatever he can get the driver to haul for was, I mean, you know, that's the whole deal is all that. Nowadays, it's just the only way that they can actually goose the numbers. I mean, you're not going to make any money off the transaction between the shipper and receiver. All your money's just made off of the freight. And you can't say that your money's made off of, you know, oh, well, we'll pay you $5,000 to haul this load. And then you call a truck driver and say, you know, all I got in is $1,500. You know, you can't, that's where the problem is that they're,
yep.
The goal,
the brokers are taking way too much money out of it. And, you know, I've said this time and time again, it kind of turns into an argument. The brokers are not really doing nothing. What do they need? They need electricity, and that is it. Now, the truck driver, he does all the freaking work.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If it's a open deck person, it don't matter if it's flatbed, step deck, RGN, whatever. They're doing all the work. They're doing a lot more work than versus a reefer driver or a dry van. Well, you can throw in tanker in there if you're hooking up hoses and whatnot. You know, there's four different types of trailers that those guys do a lot of work. Just to make sure that load is good to go down the road by DOT standards. There's some guys that over-secure the loads. I'm one of them. DOT has never messed with me about a securement. Oh, your securement's good. You're good to go. But your window tint's not good. Yeah, this guy.
I knew that was
this
coming.
This guy got caught with the window tint. After running for 2 years... For 2 years at 35%, I guess it's a little bit darker than 35% because of the window. It was at 23. So I got smart. I cut out my little cutout because I have daylight doors. And if you roll the windows all the way down, I got a little step down. Well, I cut that out. It kind of sucks during the day if I have my window cracked. But I'll show them. I'm not taking off all the tin off my windows. Screw you.
I wouldn't have done none of it because your chances that you'd probably get – your chances of going, you might never get caught again. You might run it another 2 or 3 years before somebody stops and gives you a warning or take it on. Texas got me down there on, what is that, at 77 that goes down from Victoria down to Brownsville?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
They got me down there, got me a tip both today because I had the tent windows tinted on both them internationals that we had. Hers was at 45%, mine was 35% on that truck I had, and he got me that morning and got me for a logbook, and he pulled me around back, and she pulled up there at the window, and he said, are you with him? And she said, if it's going to incriminate me, no. He said, just go ahead and pull it around back with him. Her logbook was screwed up, too, because I told her I wasn't doing mine, because when I got to Brownsville, I was going to backlog everything so I could turn around and come back. Well, she got pissed because we got both put out of service for 8 hours. So we pulled around back, and he hung the gauge on my windows and got me for tent. And damn, if he didn't go over and told her, roll your window up. She rolled it up, he hung the tent on her, gauge on hers, and got her, too. So both of us got warnings for the tent and logbook tickets, plus got put out of service for 8 hours. You're at that little fuel swap right there above the scale.
He told me,
all he did was tell me, he said, don't come back Texas. He said, you got to get that tent off. I said, I can't take it off now. I said, I can't get the glue off. I'll never be able to see. He said, just get it cleaned off. Don't come back down to Texas again until you get that tent off. I said, okay, shit. I run down there another 3 years. not down too much Brownsville. I mean, I went down there, but I run all over the place. I never had any more problem with them. It all depends on just the cop and the situation.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I see that.
Trying to find
but,
something.
But here's a funny question. So is there a law that says you have to have a window? So what if you got the window rolled down and he says, hey, let me check that tent. I said, well, the window's broke. It don't roll up.
Yeah, but the next question is going to be,
I wish I had a gun right now.
Both of your windows are broke?
Here. No, my windows are not broke. Yeah,
that's what it
said. Broke. They broke down.
There ain't a law that says, both your windows is broke.
Is there a law that says that you have to have windows?
No, but, just like Robbie asked him, and I've questioned it too. The DOT and the state cops and everything their vehicles are considered commercial vehicles, right or wrong? If it's illegal for us to have tent on a commercial vehicle, why is it legal for them to have it on a commercial vehicle? A commercial vehicle is a commercial vehicle, no matter what it is.
Well, the whole thing, I mean,
it's legal for them, but it's not legal for us.
In the state of Texas, they have rules on how much tent can be on the two driver, like the two front seat doors. If you have a four-door car, the tent on the front doors can't be as dark as the tent in the back. You can have the dark tent, like it's a limit. So like the back window, the back window and the two back doors can be tinted the same, but it's only like, what is it, like 40%? Or 50%, something like that.
All right.
The other ones they can only be like 30. Is that's it or whatever it is? I don't know what the actual number is.
Yeah, but you got some of them cops like Indiana that runs around. You've seen them, Ed. They got a limo tent on them cruisers.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
You
I
can't
agree.
See in them. And he told Robbie, well, we need to be able to see who's in the vehicle. Well, don't you think we'd like to see who's in the vehicle too? On some of them cruisers, especially like Indiana and these states that run unmarked cars. A car comes up to you with black tinted windows and he got a light in the window. Oh, all right, big deal. So you got a light in the window. Now you go down to Harbor Freight or Walmart and get a damn blue light put in the window, red to blue light. So you stop me. I can't see who's driving that car now. Who's to say, is that safe? We can't see who's stopping us. You can't see who's in us. Give me a break. Politics.
I'm telling you.
I even asked him if it was a commercial vehicle. He goes, yeah. I go, I don't think it's fair that you guys can run limo on your windows and we can't. Because actually, FMCSA is 70% of light coming in. Now, the state of Arizona, the front door windows, like if it's a four-door car or a van or an SUV or something, the front door's legal limit is 35%. Now, the back windows can be 5%, which is limo. It's hard to see in those. You can't see in those. But I've never... This is the first time I've ever gotten caught for having tin on my windows. And I even had the Mustang that I had. I had 5% all the way around on that, but majority of the time when I was driving, I had the windows down.
Well, Texas told us down there that day, I asked him, I said, so how much tent are we basically about to have? And he told me it was like, I forget what it was now. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, basically... He said, it's basically you're not allowed to have nothing much more than almost like a clear tent over it, because he said the factory tent that they put in, the UV tent that they put in the glass at the factory, he said is basically right at the limit of what you're supposed to have. You're legally allowed to have.
Right.
And I said, you've got to be kidding me. It almost looks clear. He said, yeah, it looks clear, but he said it's not.
I went back to see. I went back because I bought the window tint. I did the tint on my truck myself, and I went back and looked to see what the percentage was on it. It was 35%, and it came back 23. So that's how much light goes through on a just on a regular window, which is what That's
right.
10, 12, 13%.
Yeah.
So the window, just the window itself, is already 13%.
Right, and that's
and you're only allowed
70. About the legal limit.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well,
it's crazy. Oh, by the way, Robbie, question for you. Well, you ain't been home, but Ed, you might have seen it or something. I lost track of it. What did they ever do with that rancher out there in Arizona that was supposed to have shot that illegal in the back or whatever up there for them drug smugglers or whatever, and they had him in jail? Have you heard
any more about that? Nope.
I never heard anything about that.
Yeah, it was down there in Arizona, down there on the border somewhere. There was an illegal come across something, and the guy, the rancher, come out. He heard some commotion out there. He went out, and he saw three guys, three illegals, he thought, coming up to his property, and he shot two warning shots over their head to scare them or whatever. And then the other two of them, they took off running or whatever, two of them did, turned around. And one of them was pointing the gun at him, but nothing happened. Anyhow, they left. They took off and left. And when he shot the second, third, whatever, you know, warning shot or whatever, he says that he went out later that night or at evening or whatever, walking his property, and he found this guy laying there, supposedly an illegal, laying there, and he had been shot in the back. And they was trying to get him, because he called and reported it. Well, when they come and checked it, here the kid got shot in the back, and he told them what he had did, that he shot warning shots, and they accused him of shooting that kid. And he said he thought that it was drug smugglers coming up, you know, across the border, and they are the one that shot that kid, but he got blamed for it. It's been in the news. They had him in jail down there, and he's like 70-some years old, that rancher.
Yeah, I got it right here. It says the prosecutor in the case against the Arizona rancher accused of killing a Mexican man on his land near the U.S.-Mexico border alleged during a court hearing Wednesday that the rancher fired that day on a group of about 8 unarmed migrants who entered the U.S. illegally. Kimberly Hunley, chief deputy attorney for Santa Cruz County in the border city of Nogales, Arizona, made the assertion the same day the court made the public filing she made Tuesday, asserting the rancher George Allen Kelly began shooting at the group out of nowhere on January 30th without issuing a warning or a request to leave. He's 73 years old, faces first-degree murder charge in the death of one of the people identified by the sheriff's office as Gabriel, who lived just south of the border in adjacent Nogales, Mexico. U.S. federal court records, which spell his last name slightly different, show that he was convicted of illegal entry and deported back to Mexico several times, most recently in 2016. Two more people of the group later came forward to law enforcement, prompting authorities this week to amend the complaint against Kelly to include two counts of aggravated assault, using a rifle, a deadly weapon, or dangerous instrument in the shooting at his ranch. It says these two were in the line of fire but were not hit, according to court filings updated on Wednesday. One described watching the man they knew as Gabriel being hit and said that they felt like they were being hunted. It says both fled back across the border into Mexico, but are willing to testify in the case against Kelly, the documents say. The court says the county attorney's office and sheriff's office have all received disturbing communications, some threatening in nature, that seem to indicate an ongoing threat to the safety of the victims, says Hunley's updated filings. It says she says Kelly's comments conflicted with what witnesses from the group told law enforcement, and that his story significantly had changed over time. It says Kelly shot an unarmed man in the back and was fleeing as he was fleeing, in addition to shooting at the other individuals without warning or provocation. Hunley said in the filings, arguing against the reduction in Kelly's $1 million cash bond. This is Associated Press, so take it what you will. They're not going to any kind of information toward Kelly's favor.
No.
There is a GoFundMe. It says GoFundMe campaigns to pay for Kelly's legal defense have been shut down, and the money was returned to donors, the platform said last week in the statement. GoFundMe's terms of service explicitly prohibit campaigns that raise money to cover the legal defense of anyone formally charged with an alleged violent crime. Okay, that's bullshit, because they were doing that with all those other people up there. So we know. We don't try to tell us that we already know. Okay, don't try to tell us something.
First of all, my opinion is that's his property, that's his land. All right. So when you come across that border, as soon as you step across that border, you're already breaking the law. You're already illegal. You're breaking the law. You come onto that man's property, and then you come up there. Now, there was what they're saying, 6 or 7. See, I heard 3 they were saying on the news at first. So now you got 7 people up there against 1. So now you've already got, you know, all right, there you go right there. You got a big discrepancy right there.
Yeah, danger to his life, because there's more of them than there are him.
Exactly. So he feared for his life. So all he was doing was defending himself and his land, which they shouldn't have been on there anyhow, because that's trespassing, you know, and it's trespassing any way you put it. You know, it don't matter. It's trespassing. And if they was up here illegal, they already broke the law when they come across that border illegal, proper documentation. And then to come up there and then 7 of them, they're taking 7, the word of 7 illegals over 1 man that's living here legally, that's paid his dues and owns that property. Poor shit.
Yep. Hey, so you're not watching that 1923, that TV show, are you? With Harrison Ford? The Duttons, you know, the Yellowstone? Yeah. Did you see it where... So you saw the sheep herder was on his property grazing on his land. So they went and they said, you know what? You're on our property, and we had done told you to get off, and now you're back on our property. They rounded all those sheep herders up and hung them from trees. They strung up rope on the tree and tied it around their neck, and then left them on their horses. And when the horses just drift off because they're hungry or thirsty, then the guy will die because the horse leaves. And so, so they just left him there, and the one guy survived because he was able to get down before his horse ran away, but everybody else died. And then, so he got mad. So he goes back to his place or wherever he goes, he gets all his boys rounded up that he knows. And they went back, and of course they were just coming back home from town, and they got their wives with them and everybody with them and everything. And they show up there and start and like ambush him. And he breaks out a Tommy gun, dude. You know, this is 1923. So he's got a fully automatic Tommy gun, and he shoots Harrison Ford and his nephew, which is our, you know, one of our main guys. And he dies. So he thought Harrison Ford was dead. Everybody thought Harrison Ford was dead, but no, they nursed him back to health and he's okay. Well, so Harrison Ford went back in there and told the sheriff, he said, hey, he shot me. Let's go arrest him. Sheriff's like, hell yeah, let's go arrest him. So they go down there and arrest him and knock on his door and say, you're under arrest for murder and attempted murder. And he goes, well, who did I attempt to murder? And then, of course, he sees Harrison Ford. He's like, oh, shit, I thought I killed you, you know, like that. And he's like, well, I'm a witness now. You know, you thought you killed me, but I'm a witness. So now you're going to go to jail. And he says, well, you shouldn't. If you're going to arrest me, you need to be arresting him, because he hung all of my friends up on his tree for trespassing on his land. And the sheriff just says, well, he was well within his rights. It's like, you trespass, I hang you, you know? And that's what we're getting at right here. You come on my property.
Right.
I don't have to warn you. Okay. Okay. The whole thing without them saying, well, he shot at him without warning. Okay. First off, like you say, and they're already in the country illegally, so they know they're doing something wrong. They know that the land that they're on is not, you know, I mean, he doesn't even have to say it's his land.
Private property.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and I guarantee you.
It's like that saying is shoot first, ask questions later, but if you're dead, there's no questions to be asked, so you might as well just dig a hole
right.
and put you in it.
Yeah.
Dead men don't talk, man. There's only one side of the story if you kill them.
Yeah. So,
and that's
so yeah, I think, I mean, we're getting at it. It's a kangaroo court, just like old Donald Trump said, kangaroo court. You know,
yep.
They're going to do whatever they want because it's no Gallus, and guaranteed everybody that got elected are Democrats down there. So, yeah.
Right, right.
Yep, that's it. So hopefully,
all right, man.
Hopefully we get a new president in there and he'll pardon him, hopefully, if he doesn't die in jail.
Right.
But, yep.
I just think it can be resolved real easy, just like, you know, all these protests and stuff, these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that want to go protest. Why don't we just gather up thousands and thousands and thousands of us gun owners, you know, around this country that are trying to take this country back and just go down there, just swarm that damn border down there and tell our federal government, you won't do nothing. We're going to. There's only one problem, the only solution. It's either you build the wall, keep them down there, or we're going to start shooting them when they come up across here. You ain't got enough jails and prisons to lock all of us up. So what are you going to do? You going to bring the military in here to fight us, to protect the illegals?
So I mean, they say that there's been threats on the victims, and I don't know. There might have been threats against the prosecutors as well, because if you got, you know, those whole militia groups and landowners down there. But you remember when the Land Management Bureau took those cows? And they had that huge standoff with all the cattle ranchers. So, this ain't over yet. So I agree with you.
Right. That's horseshit, man. There ain't no reason for that. That man bought that land. He owns that land. That's his land. That's his private property, you know, and they have no right coming up here illegal. And they got, that just goes to show, them bastards has got more legal, they got more rights up here than what we do. Because they let them come up there, and anything they do is fine, but we can't. You can't defend your property? Kiss my ass. Just like somebody the other night, you know, it made a comment on Facebook about guys cutting off catalytic converters in his driveway. His buddy had a catalytic converter cut off his driveway right from his house. I said, you let the son of a bitch, let me catch somebody under my car cutting a catalytic converter off. I said, it's going to be click bang. And then I'm going to call 911 and say, come and get him and get him out of here. Guy said, yeah, my buddy took. He said they was cutting his off, and he said he caught the guy, and he said he beat him with a crowbar, and he said the guy ended up, took him to the hospital, and he ended up living, and they got him up for attempted murder, and he's in jail. I said, fuck, where do you live? I said, because I'm telling you right now, if you get caught in my property, under my car, I said, not only is that, you know, it's not only, you know, that, but it's also, you know, you're trespassing, all right, for one, and it's vandalism. He said, well, the attorney told his buddy that insurance would have paid for the damage to the car, and he was up for attempted murder because it's not worth somebody's life because of damage. I said, bullshit. Why should my insurance have to pay to fix my car because some asshole wanted to cut it up? I said, where do you live at? He said, California. I said, well, end of discussion. That explains that.
That explains that.
I said, I live in the wonderful state of Ohio. You can say whatever you want to, but if the bastard gets caught in my property, in my yard, ain't going to be no warning shot. Ain't going to be no, hey, what are you doing? I'm going to shoot him in his ass, and then I'm going to wait for the cops to get there and tell him to get his ass out of there if he's not dead. But more than likely, he'll be deceased when they get there. Because when I put one in his ass, he's going to start squirming around like a worm on a hook. And when he comes out from under there, I'm going to put one between his eyes. Say, now, there you go. End of problem. Nobody else will miss any catalytic converters. At least not from him, anyhow. I ain't playing that shit. I'm done. Because we got it right now. If they come on my property and you ask them to leave, you tell them to leave. They're on private property. No trespassing. You get off my property. If they keep coming toward you, you got every right in the world to shoot them, and there ain't nothing going to be done about it. If they're on your property when you shoot them.
Yep, there you go.
It's called Stand Your Ground, Castle Doctrine, whatever you want to call it. That's the way it is. And when I went to get my concealed carry in the state of Ohio, Columbiana County, the guy that done our concealed carry class was a retired state cop, and then he was with the sheriff's department for a while, and he said, the county we live in is real pro-gun. He said, if anything happens and you have to shoot somebody, hopefully it never happens or never comes to that, but if you do in Columbiana County, he said, you're going to be damn lucky to ever see a day in jail over it, because he said, the judge in this county and the sheriff in this county are real pro-gun, and they don't agree with that shit. So whatever it is, it is. If they're on your property and they get shot or they try physical harm, they're just dead. That's all there is to it. There ain't going to be no court date.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's horseshit. You know, I just have to think about that poor guy, and I'm thinking, here he is 70-some years old. You know, his life is damn near over anyhow, and he can't even protect the property that his ancestors has probably had. That property's probably been in that family for hundreds and hundreds of years. And now these assholes are going to come up across the border and just do whatever they want to do, trash the place, vandalize. You know, if he had to got them, that seven of them, where would they have done? Would they have showed up at his house, you know, beat, killed him, raped his wife or his kids or family or somebody else's family? Bullshit. Shoot them bastards and be done with it. If they'd shoot about, you know, a couple, three dozen of them, kick them back in the damn Rio Grande and float down the damn river and say, now, anybody else want to come over here or you want to come in the right way? They would quit it. They would stop it. I'm a firm believer. Eye for an eye, buddy.
Hell yeah, man. Oh, yeah, here's, I clicked on the Fox News article. So the Fox News says that the guy Kelly, the guy, the man that's in charge, who remained held at Santa Cruz County Jail ahead of a Wednesday court appearance, reportedly doubles as a self-published fiction author writing about ranch life in the border region. One book available as an Amazon ebook is titled Far Beyond the Border Fence and is described as bringing the Mexican border drug conflict into the 21st century, according to the Mail.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So. Yeah. Yep. Make his book into a movie. Let's get him some money.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, it ain't heard the end of it yet. It ain't over by a long shot. It's not near over.
Yep, I don't think so either.
It's crazy.
All right, then.
Crazy. All right, time to get out of here so you go to work. I got to get on, man. I'm doing that outlaw deal tonight, so I got to keep stepping. I got to go over here and unload over here at Chesterton, Indiana tonight, and I got to load in the morning out of Portage to go back over home. So that'll be it for the week for me. Yay, yay. All right, Ed. I'll talk to you later on.
Good deal, bud.
Yeah,
all right, later.
All right.
Later.
Have a good night, Ed.
You too, bud.
Ride Concrete Cowboy Ride.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Everybody, have a great show there. And check it out. It's going to be 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. We're here every weekday, every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in, 515-602-9731. You can listen along there, or you can chime in by pushing 1. We also have, you can go on to blogtalkradio.com. That's where you can stream all of our past episodes, or you can stream it live as it's happening, you know, during the same time. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, where you can find links to all of our social media accounts, including YouTube. Don't forget to go check out our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that. We're hitting a goal there, and it's an awesome thing. We're really happy for it. So check that out. And all of our great sponsors, appreciate all of them for tagging along with us. And that's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com, and, of course, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com, the app for truckers. Appreciate everybody's support, and we guys see you tomorrow. All right, now, Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. Keep between the ditches, and we'll see you down the road.
Ten poor little buckaroo, and happy trails to you. Ride, concrete cowboy, ride. All those bad guys that I faced at the Saturday matinee, you and me and a million saddle pals, with a never empty gun, we kept those outlaws on the run. Remember how we fought and rode until we had them all corralled. So ride, concrete cowboy, ride. The open highway is your way. 10-4 little buckaroo, and happy, happy trails to you. Ride, concrete cowboy, ride. Ride, concrete cowboy.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.